If I like a special day, then it's going to be homecoming. I like this day. To me, this is just what it means to me, but Homecoming Sunday to me is a time that we look back on where we've been and what has been accomplished. It is also a time that we look around us and see what's going on right now. And it's a time to look forward to see what we plan to do. I know some churches who don't even have Homecoming Sunday. They don't even have it. I guess the reason why is because they hadn't been anywhere. They haven't accomplished anything. And they're not doing anything right now. And they don't plan to do anything in the future. That's why I have homecoming. But we've been somewhere. And we're doing two or three little things right now and plan to do some more. And I enjoy homecoming. Tonight, if the slide projector works and we show the slides, I've got a few slides, not many, that I'll show you on the history of the church. And I thought of this. When I was putting those slides together and I was just trying to get them in order and what I wanted to say, I thought I'd show some pictures of what somebody saw a long time ago. That's what we'll see tonight. And then I thought I'd show a few pictures of what we're seeing right now. And then I'd like to show a picture or two of what we'd like our children to see a long time from now. And that's what a church ought to be about. Now, the passage of Scripture that I'll read to you this morning, it's a very familiar text and a very common one for days like this. I want to read a few verses. You'll get the context immediately, and I'll bring the message God's laid on my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. You've been here long enough. Time to go now. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Now skip down to verse number 26. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. Now that was a stupid thing to say, wasn't it? Because the Lord hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen that the Lord thy God bear thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. I've often thought that knowing what I know now from reading history, there's a lot of places I would have liked to have been able to have been to. And I believe that I could have changed the course of history already knowing the outcome, especially so in Bible days. And I believe that if I could have been at Kadesh Barnea, the day that God brought them there and was going to bring them over into the Canaan land, if I could have been there, and if Moses would have let me spoken to all of the children of Israel, I believe I could have saved them about 40 years of heartache. If I could have just been there. I believe I could have told him of all the battles and all the struggles that they'd have faced in the wilderness if they didn't cross that river and go into the Canaan land at this point. But it wasn't there. Now you know what's happened. The Lord Jesus or God has just delivered Israel out of Egypt. He's brought them across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. But He didn't bring them into the wilderness for them to stay there. He kept them for 2 years around Mount Sinai. And then God brings them to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is the crossing place. It is the entrance, the gateway, the door to say into the promised land. God brought them out of Egypt that He might bring them into Canaan land. And He brings them to Kadesh Barnea, and this is where they're going to cross over. Let me just say that God's not tantalizing them. He's not teasing them. He's not playing games. God wills for them to cross over. They can enter Canaan now. They can start enjoying the promised land. But in Numbers chapter 13, we read where they came to this place, Kadesh Barnea, and something tragic happens before they cross. The people rebel. For some reason, Israel refuses to go into what God has prepared for them, and the consequence is for the next 40 years, they're going to wander in the wilderness. They refused, they rebelled to go in. I wish that I could have been there. I believe I could have prevented those 40 years in the wilderness. Kadesh Barnea should have been a place of obedience and blessing. But instead, Kadesh Barnea was a place of rebellion and curse. We come to Kadesh Barnea in the Bible three different times. In all three different times, it is a place of rebellion. In Numbers chapter 13, the people rebel against Moses and they refuse to go up and possess the land. They refuse to cross over. In Numbers chapter 16, they come to it again and they're going to cross over now, but a man by the name of Korah leads 200 men to rebel against Moses and they rebel there at Kadesh Barnea. And then God tells Moses that in order to get water from the rock, he needs to speak to the rock. But instead, he smites the rock. He rebels against God. And every time we come to Kadesh Barnea, it is a place of rebellion against God. There's always a consequence to rebellion, isn't there? These people refuse to go, and 40 years they wander in the wilderness. Korah and the 250 princes, they rebelled, and the earth swallowed them up. Moses rebelled and smote the rock instead of speaking to it and was denied entrance into the Canaan land. There's always consequences toward rebelling against God. And let me just say a word about rebellion, if I might. Whenever we think about rebellion, we think about some runaway teenager with long hair, listening to rock and roll, strung out on dope with an earring in his ear. That's not particularly rebellion. Anytime that God tells you to do something and you disobey and you do not follow God, that is rebellion. The Bible said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's a place of rebellion. I want to say that everybody in this room this morning has a Kadesh Barnea. Everyone in this room that is saved, God will bring you to a place where He wants to draw you near. He wants to take you into His will. There is somewhere that God wants you to go in your life. And your Kadesh Barnea are young people that may be choosing a career. It may be a college. It may be a mate. It may be choosing the church. It may be a thousand and one other things. But God will bring you to a Kadesh Barnea. And the important thing is that you obey God and go on with Him and don't stop at Kadesh Barnea. And that's what they did here. They stopped. It's not uncommon what they did. It's not unusual. It's not an isolated case. It happens every day. We like to preach against Israel and look what Israel did. Look what they did here. But the truth of the matter is that we're no better. And sometimes we get mad and we leave the church or we get offended and withhold our tithe or we go on strike against God and we get a little bit of rebellion in our hearts and we're no better than Israel stopping at Kadesh Barnea. They stopped. I mean, the promised land is in front of them. This is what God wants for them. And they said, no, we're not going. Now, I want to give you three or four reasons this morning why I believe that Israel wouldn't enter the promised land. Three or four reasons why Israel would not obey God. Number one, Numbers chapter 13. I believe the first reason why Israel would not go into the promised land is that they were satisfied with their present condition. They're satisfied with where they were. And they didn't want to get any closer to God. They were happy in the wilderness. Now you've got to remember, they just came out of Egypt. They just came out of the world. That's a picture of being saved. That's a picture of getting your blood washed. Exodus chapter 12. And Israel had just been redeemed. But somewhere between that point and Canaan land, they got complacent. They got satisfied. Canaan land is not heaven. And Canaan land is not getting saved. To you and I, Canaan land would represent the will of God. It represents the victorious Christian life. It represents commitment and separation and victory and all of those things associated with that. It represents what God wants for your life. I might shock you when I say this morning, but God didn't save you to keep you in the wilderness. God didn't bring you out of Egypt to bring you in the wilderness and leave you there. God's got a Canaan land for your life. God's got a will for your life. There's a place that God wants to bring you. But somewhere between point A and point B, they got satisfied. They got complacent with where they were. They saw the land, and sure, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And sure, the grapes are big as grapefruits. But they don't care. They're happy where they are. Israel really didn't want to go into the Canaan land. Sure, Canaan land would be nice, but it's not worth the struggle. Besides, they said, what is wrong with the wilderness? We're doing okay right here where we are. You know why most people stop at Kadesh Barnea? Because they want to. They have gone as far as they want to with God. Can I tell you something this morning? You are as spiritual as you want to be. Yes, sir. You're as close to God as you desire. Amen. You're as close to Jesus as you want to be. And the reason, and we preach against them, and we scream and spit and holler and try to drag them down the aisle, and they get no closer to God, and they'll never get their heart right for God, and they'll never be faithful, they'll never mount to a hill of beans for God. They don't want to. Let them go. Amen. There's people sitting in this room right here. You're as close to God as you ever want to be. Probably you're a little bit closer than you want to be. And you're trying to keep your distance. You've stopped at Kadesh Barnea because you don't want God's will for your life. Every one of you read your Bible all you wanted to this week. Yes, sir. Every one of you talked and prayed to God all you cared to. Got your belly full of it this week. Did all you wanted. And every one of you are as separated as you desire. Amen. Amen. It's getting quiet in here. This homecoming Sunday, I'm trying to be nice. You're as spiritual as you want to be. I'm as close to God. I got as much of the Holy Spirit as I want. Amen. Amen. And most people never enter the Canaan land and they never get in God's will because they don't want to. They hear the good reports of how good it is over there and they see the fruit from the land of God's will, but they're content to just stay put. Matter of fact, you know where Israel would have really liked to have been? Back in Egypt. Yes, sir. Because time and time and time again, whenever some little problem came up, they'd say, we were better in Egypt. That's where they wanted to be. Look over here in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Look here. Or chapter 14. Chapter 14. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return in Egypt? And several times they make that wish known. They said, we should have went back to Egypt. They never got Egypt out of their life. And most Christians live like they wish they never got saved. They live like Christianity is a burden to them. It has cramped their style. What have I done to myself? They dress like Egypt. Talk like Egypt. Live like you long for Egypt. Fellowship with Egypt. I believe you'd rather be back in Egypt. Huh? They never crossed over. They didn't go into the Canaan land. And some of these men right here that are doing this murmuring will never see it again. They'll die in the wilderness because they wanted to. They were satisfied with the present. I'll give you the second reason why I don't believe they crossed over to the promised land. Not only were they satisfied with the present, but I believe they were scared of the people. Over here in Numbers chapter 13, let's read a couple of verses here. Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 26. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Verse number 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They believed the spies more than they did the sovereign. And the reason why they didn't go is because they're scared of the people. Fear paralyzed them. Let's go. And I'll even say this. I don't think they should have ever sent the spies in the first place. And you read the book of Deuteronomy, and God sent those spies after they requested it. But God said originally, you just go up and possess the land. I've already spied the land out. They don't believe God. We need somebody to check on this. We need to pray about this. We're not sure that's the right move for us. Huh? And so they sent the spies. And you know, sometimes God will do that with you. It was not God's will for Israel to have a king. But they said, we want a king. God said, all right, I'll let you have one. And He gave them Saul. It was not God's will for these spies to go. But they said, we want spies. God said, all right, I'll let you go. And they came back and kept them from going. It'd been better if they'd never went. Everybody just went together. Fought it out. Now I'll tell you something. You argue God long enough, He just lets you have your way. So all right, bud, just go ahead and do it. And just let you have it. And we'll see who knows best. They sent these spies out here. And sent out 12 spies. They said, we need to pray about this decision. We need to see if this is the right move or not. Isn't that what we do? Send out a lot of spies. Now, I just want to say, there's some things that you don't need to spy. There's some things you don't need to pray about. You know, I didn't have to pray about whether I was going to church this morning or not. Didn't say one word of prayer about it. Just got up and just did it. You know, I didn't have to pray about whether I was going to tithe today or not. Now, Lord, I'll put it in if you want me to. But Lord, if that's your will for my life, Lord, I'd be glad to. You just show me. What? No. Didn't even have to pray about it. No. I ain't going to pray about coming tonight. Didn't I? You know I don't have to pray about not living, about living separated. He's going to do it. Amen. You know, a lot of times I hear a preacher preach and preacher gets on my sin. I hit the altar and try to get it right. But I don't hit that altar and say, now, Lord, if you'd had me give that up, oh, Lord, please show me if that's right or wrong. Oh, no, he done showed you. Just, Lord, would you help me get rid of that? Lord, help me get my life right. Lord, would you forgive me? Sending those spies out, praying about those decisions. You don't want to go in the land where the problem is. Scared. Scared of the people. They came back with that report and they only heard one thing, and that is that we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They believe the spies more than they believe the sovereign. Let me give you the third reason this morning why they didn't go in the promised land. It's not only scared of the people and satisfied with the present, but I believe they are skeptical of God's promises. I don't believe they really believed God. God said, I want you to go up and possess the land. The land was theirs, and God had given it to them. But they didn't believe God. They rebelled against Him. They had forgot all of His past deliverances, and His promises fell on deaf ears. And that's our biggest problem today, is we don't trust God. We don't believe that God can carry us through. We trust Him with our souls, but we don't trust Him with our lives. We don't trust God. We're not able to stick our necks out. We're not able to commit ourselves to God. And until you do, God not bless you. And you just had to give it all. I'm thinking of a little lady over there in the Gospels. Her name is Mary. A little old Mary wanted to worship God. She wanted to honor Him. And all she had was a little old box of perfume, an alabaster box of ointment. And that thing was worth, now get this, a year's wages. And Mary came to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that she broke it and poured it on His head. That cost a year's wages for that bottle of perfume. I mean, that was expensive stuff. And she poured it on His head and she gave it to Him. But you've got to understand what Mary was doing. Mary was a harlot. She was a woman of ill repute. And the way that Mary would earn her living is she would take that box of ointment and open it. And she'd set it in the open window. She didn't have a sign advertising her business. But the wind would come and it'd carry that fragrance down the street and it would attract men to her. And they would know there was a harlot that gives up that street. And they would come and give her business. And when Mary took that box of ointment, she was taking her life. Everything that she had and everything that she was. And she broke it before Him. Now that's commitment. She just lost her business. She just put her life into His hands. And if you never get to that point, God never used you. And if some of you this morning, you stopped at Kadesh Barnea. If some of you haven't got any closer to God in 10 years, haven't moved a step closer. Is stopped. And you're fixing the head for 40 more years in the wilderness unless you cross over. God's got you at Kadesh Barnea this morning. I don't know what it is in your life, but God will put His finger on an area in your life and say, son, this is what I need you to take care of. And you'll either get it right and follow God, or He'll leave you in the wilderness. I know men today that are in the wilderness because they missed the Kadesh Barnea. I know families today that are in the wilderness because they missed the Kadesh Barnea. Hey, I know churches that are in the wilderness. They haven't done anything for God for 20 years, and they're not doing anything for God in the next 20 years because they missed the Kadesh Barnea. And this morning, God put His finger on something in your life. And you will either get it right or you'll suffer the consequences. Hey, young lady, listen to me.
What is it this morning that God's putting His finger on? What is it in your life God's dealing with? Why don't you quit wrestling with God? Why don't you quit fighting with Him and get it right this morning? Hey, young man, look at me. Listen to me. What's God dealing with you about? What's God spoke to your heart about? Time and time again, you know what it is. And you'll spend a very barren life until you surrender it all to God. We need some young people this morning to just dedicate it all. And say, Lord, here I am. I mean, everything. Put it all in your hands. Hey, Mama, Daddy, where you at this morning? God singling out anything in your life? You haven't lived for God for years. You haven't felt His presence. You haven't talked to God. You're a million miles away from God this morning because you missed your Kadesh Barnea. I'll tell you something this morning. You can cross over this morning. You know the tragic part of this story? That because of their rebellion, here's what God told them, and you can read the story later on. God said, Moses, He said, here's what I want you to tell them. He said, I want you to tell them men that because they didn't cross over, that they're going to spend 1 year in this wilderness for every day that they hesitated waiting on the spies. 40 days, 40 years. And I want you to tell them that every man above the age of 20 years old will die in the wilderness, save two. Furthermore, I want you to tell them that they're not the ones to suffer for their sins. Their children will. I was talking to somebody this week and they brought that up. They said how that God would visit the iniquities of the father's sins upon the children. There it is. These men that griped and complained never did enter in the will of God. They never did see Canaan land. And their children suffered for 40 years out of God's will because they missed the will of God for their life. I tell you something. When our church comes to Kadesh Barnea, I want us to cross over. I don't want us to stop at Kadesh Barnea. I want us to go on. The only way for us to do it is for you to cross over. And God points out something in your life, it's for you to get it right. Stopping at Kadesh Barnea. I want us to stand this morning.